Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, happy Super Bowl Sunday. The Falcons are in the Super Bowl, shocked me, and I'm from Georgia. I think it's like the second time this has happened, but I'm not a football person. The only thing I look forward to during a football game, well, the Super Bowl, commercials. And since 92, and yes, I'm going all the way back in time, halftime show. Because for those of you who don't know, and I will give credit where credit is due, New Kids on the Block were one of the first pop acts to do a Super Bowl halftime show, which makes sense because it's like they were popular at the time, and then Michael Jackson did it, and everybody remembers Michael Jackson because it's, hey, it's Michael Jackson, like remembering Prince. I mean, they both, anyway. Came from the James Brown school of they will give you their money's worth when you go to their concert, and that was a concert. So, yeah, but look forward to. So I'll catch it tomorrow online and, you know, read the comments because that's always entertaining. Her Mariah Carey's new song, I Don't. I like the lyrics. I thought she was pretty in. And she doesn't need auto-tune. I'm not a big auto-tune person. And frankly, as somebody who has been a fan for many, many, I'm sort of tired of her working with rappers. I really am. I like the fact that she did popularize a rap song collaboration with the remix of Fantasy, which to me is one of the most influential songs, and I'm not just saying, but it did. I mean, before then, you didn't see a lot of pop starlets, which in her case, it really doesn't count because she was another child of another day, but number one pop star doing rap in midnight was like, what? So, yeah, I give her credit, but that doesn't mean you keep on doing it for almost over 22 years. It's like Donna Summer doing disco for 20 years. It's like, okay, we get it. You were one of the main creators of it. Okay, movie. Okay, I love you. Bye-bye. And that's how I feel. And I actually like the song Beautiful and her last album. Not sure about this new one. I think she should do a 7, like a cover album, but another topic another day. Speaking of another topic another day, my period started today. I was shocked. I shouldn't have really been shocked because I think that's why everything more than usual has been on my humanities quote of I love humanity as the people I hate, and I've been feeling that. And I'm just like, so I know you guys don't want to know about my period, but whenever it comes, I'm like, it's the first day. I just want to sleep, eat. The week before, gain 5 pounds, eat dairy, so ice cream, nachos, pizza, cheesy bread, you know, the usual. So, yeah, it took me forever to come up with a topic because, just been having that time, and I admit, because I skipped most of last year not doing my show, I really should have been better prepared for this episode. But I didn't really know what to talk about, and my mind was somewhere else. And my co-host is actually doing very good today. He's sleeping. He did have a bath, and he does have a new sibling who's a cat. I still think my co-host should run for president. Really, I'm done with this. I keep on telling, running 2020. Really? Yeah, I know I shouldn't rush time. Still been doing meditation and enjoying it. We'll see how tomorrow goes with the second day. But one of the good things for this year, another artist I like, and I've been waiting for almost over a decade on a full album, Michelle Branch. Not sure if you guys remember who Michelle Branch is. She did the song Game of Love with Santana in like 2002. And she was part of the early 2000s pop female revolution, post 9/11, early 2000 girl pop starlet revolution. And let me clarify what that is. So Brittany, Christina, Jessica Simpson, Mandy Moore, they were late 90s, 2000. And they were all this bubblegum pop produced by either The Matrix or Max Martin or Dennis Pop. Part of the time, Dennis Pop, but he died in like 99 of cancer. So, yeah, it was the Genie in a Bottle, Hit Me Baby One More Time. Then you had what Michelle Branch was a part of, which was her, Vanessa Carlton. You may not know the name, but you know that song, 1,000. I could walk 1,000. Okay, I'm not even, I need to give up singing. If I wanted to do entertainment, I could have either got certified in Pro Tools, producer, or an entertainment law. And I like the entertainment part a little bit more because I like my facts. Avril Lavigne, who was also produced a lot of stuff by The Matrix, but it wasn't as gummy pop as their stuff with like Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. And if I'm wrong, you know, email me at icaga2005@gmail.com. So, yeah. And so you had those three. And I'm not sure where Pink falls because she was under the face at the time. So, well, she's in her own anomaly because she sort of bled into both. So, yeah, Michelle Branch was like girl next door sex symbol versus Gaga. Not Gaga like Lady Gaga because Lady Gaga came out afterward. But she was more wholesome. And she played a little guitar because you're it. I shouldn't sing. Anyway, she had some trouble with her record label, like most artists do. She had two albums, and then she formed a country duo, The Wreckers. They were on One Tree Hill, and she decided to do an EP, Everything Comes and Goes. Attempted for years to do a full album, but she did a little EP, Everything Comes and Goes. Broke up with her record label. I'm not sure if it was because of the Brockett Law or not. It might have been. And for those who don't know, it's based off of Christina Marie Brockett, a.k.a. Tina Marie, who sued Motown in the 80s, and they came up with the Tina Marie Brockett, the nickname for the law, which states that a record label cannot keep you under them if they're not going to release your music. So now she's with somebody else, and the great irony is she is now with the host of her competitor's former head label, one of them, and that would be Universal. Yeah, random fact, because Vanessa Carlton was under Universal, and then she Herb Gotti for a little bit, and then she got dropped. I'm not sure if she's still with Universal. I really didn't look it up, but yeah, so now Michelle Branch will be coming. According to like Entertainment Weekly and stuff, she will be coming out with a new CD in April, and I heard her new song, and I'm sort of looking forward to it. It gets me in touch with my early college years. Yes, I'm that old. I'll be 34 in 3 weeks, a little over, under 3 weeks, and I'm hoping to get my hair done. I like there are parts of being natural I like, because me and chemicals do not get along. You've heard my show about my hair story. Would like to get my weave, but I know I sound like I'm Jonathan, but me doing my natural hair is like, yeah. Other people doing my natural hair is like, we gotta change vodka. We all be having a drink. Gonna have like 4 hours in, and I gotta get a cut, and I'll be playing in it. So I'm like, put some money down. Same way my mom handled it. And my mom actually did this the summer before my sophomore year of college. She just got annoyed with me, and this is when I was perming my hair because I just like to put it up in a ponytail or a clip or whatever. She was like, I'm tired of it. Maybe this was the liquor talking. Who knows? She was my mother. And she was like, put like some money on the bed and was like, fix your hair. Mm. Bye. Like, it wasn't even that bad. Now if she saw it, she'd probably turn in her grave or slap me and be like, you know, yeah, you need to do something with that crap. She's like, you know. I don't really think mothers are like the, speaking of moms, sometimes you're like the ghost of Christmas future because it's like, this is what you could become. But, you know, moments. And I did talk to surrogate mom today because, you know, she's like, mom, probably like, why did you call me about your beard? Because you're like my mom, the same reason I bugged her about wanting to do an Ironman marathon for my 40th. Yeah, I've been wanting to do this since around the time I started this show. Speaking of, the first of this month was my 3-year anniversary of doing my show. Not sure if you guys, if my listeners realize it, but February 1st, 2014 was my first episode. And I think I've grown some. I mean, outside of the time last year when I wasn't hosting, a little bit in 2015. But yeah, it's been 3 years. So thank you, my lovely listeners, for being there and critiquing and listening live. And yeah, I love you guys. I love my listeners. Thank you, and really taking the time. I know it was a late birthday, and I didn't even mention it on last month's episode, but yeah, this show is an Aquarius, and it is the age of Aquarius. I'm not sure if the show acts like an Aquarius, but I'm not an Aquarius. I'm a Pisces. So, yeah, and that's pretty much the other stuff. I'm still the same thing with the Cheeto. And I'm mad at that 72 million people who didn't vote. This may not have happened with them. Yeah, I get it. You wanted to. I mean, I can even understand voting for third party candidates. There was even a dominatrix who ran for president. Her last name was Indiana, and she was a write-in candidate in the law. And a lot of her stuff made sense, and I apologize for not mentioning her before. I didn't even know she ran until I heard an episode of Sex Nerd Sandra, and she interviewed her. But, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, she's female, blah, 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 but some of her things made sense. Like, she was discussing how the U.S. should improve our structural structure. Because a lot of the interstates were built around World War II. And it's like, damn, it ended 72 years ago. You don't let something sit and not really, you know, overhaul it for 72 years or you only half-ass it. And yeah, I did say the A word, but it's true. She was like, we need to redo it and, you know, do more solar power. And I know a lot of people are like, well, solar power is hippie-hippie, but it's cultural Darwinism. Like, I get it. Coal has its moments. Coal makes diamonds, blah, blah, blah. And it's carbon and everything. But eventually, as America, we have to accept the concept of economic Darwinism. And this was something Bill Maher brought up. And I'm not totally like an overbearing. I'm a moderate. I am a pro-choice. Fiscal conservative, borderline fiscal conservative, because I got to really work on balancing my money. Female. Well, woman of color. But that's another topic, another day. So basically, economic Darwinism is societies and change. We no longer use, like, I just got the 90 second mark. But anyway, sort of like, there's no longer a market for it. Markets change. So as an economy and as a business, you have to change with the times. If you don't, you will be left behind, just like Darwinism in animals. You know, human beings have a different immune system than they did 300 years ago, hell, even 10 years ago, because of changes in our food and diet. Why would business models be different? I mean, out of all the S&P 500, it's only one of the originals is left. And I think it's GE, because they managed to change with the times. It's like, okay, yes, we still make refrigerators. Yes, we still own, one time they did own NBC, but we changed and we grew and we evolved. Yes, we made TVs, but we no longer make the bulky sit-on-the-floor TVs. Now we make the flat screens, because there's no longer a market. It's no longer productive for us to make the big lucky wooden TV. This is not the 50s. This is the 21st century. So change, and people change. Things change. Necessities change. And that's something people should accept or get left behind. And I got 5 seconds. Thank you for listening. This is Anita and Ramble. Bye.